It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Phil, how are you?
Atamariye, Rachel. I'm good, thank you. I'm a bit more wide awake than I was this time yesterday morning after the cricket. So
yes,
there are a few of us in that situation, I'm sure.
I was going to say, I think there's a few, definitely a few people who had a long sleep last night. Hey, we are going to chat to you about a few things this morning, but it's a big one nationally today because the submissions, it's the last day for submissions on the government's climate change response, the Zero Carbon Amendment Bill. I'm really curious to see what you, as the Mayor of Auckland, what you're hoping that this bill might mean for local councils and specifically Auckland. What are some outcomes you'd like to see for local government?
Well, it's really important because while we live and act locally, the difference that can be made to our carbon emissions has to be done also at the national level. So we have to have the targets set, we need the framework set, we need the central government to be working closely with local government. And we've been, quite supportive of the bill before Parliament, and we've made submissions on the Zero Carbon Amendment Bill, and that basically has supported the independent commission, that's the Climate Change Submission Commission that's been set up, just because we believe that we need something that will provide continuity, not something that simply moves around dependent on political cycles. We support the target, and we've adopted the target ourselves from the Paris Agreement of the 1.5% centigrade maximum temperature rise and what we have to do to achieve that, and zero carbon emissions by 2050. We support the fact that it's got to go across all sectors. Look, I know each sector will complain, and I was applauding the government's stance on encouraging the uptake of electric cars and putting a small penalty on the high emissions cars. And all of the lobby groups come out doing exactly what you'd expect them to do, saying, oh, this will hurt us. And nobody says, yeah, but what about the big picture? What about the fact that we are getting, climate change is not even debatable now. It's happening. We're getting the sea level rise. We're getting the more extreme weather events. And, we've got to wake up. If you do nothing, nothing will change except the impact of climate heating, which will have financial and environmental effects that will be catastrophic, mainly for our kids and our grandkids. And people are just going to shake themselves out of the lethargy and saying, she'll be right, mate, do something, but do it to somebody else, not me, and say, this is a game that we've all got to be involved in. We've all got to make the contribution.
Absolutely, and it's actually a good day for making the contribution as well, because anybody, I think unless you're a government employee, I believe you can submit on this bill, and today is the last day to do it. So go and have a read of the legislation, and if you want to submit something to it, this is your chance to have a say on this piece of legislation as well. How do you keep, this is at a national level of course, Phil, but how do you make sure that on a local level people are still able to keep contributing to these conversations ongoing about climate change and how that people want to see their city in a greener and more sustainable way? How do you make sure that people still have that voice, Phil?
Yeah, well, we're going out right now on the changes that we believe need to be made to deal with global heating, and that will go out for public consultation. I think I think it opens. It's probably August, I think, that opens up. It's in the next couple of weeks anyway, and we want public involvement in that, because to make the changes that we need to make, look, let's not beat about the bush. We're not going to be able to tackle climate change without spending a significant amount of money in doing so, both on mitigating it, stopping the rise of carbon emissions and methane, and secondly, adaptation, because even if we did everything right now, we're still going to get the impacts of the climate change that is already underway. And that's going to be huge. I mean, just give you an example of the latter. We're dealing with cases at the moment of people's homes that are no longer habitable because the greater regularity of extreme weather conditions and flooding, they will no longer be insurable. Now, do we just hang those people out to dry and say, tough luck, that's something that happens? Or do you say, well, it's a bit like an earthquake, actually. This is something that's beyond our power, And therefore, we have to have something like the equivalent, really, of the Earthquake Commission, which levies us all on our insurance in order to make sure that when an event happens that devastates somebody's home and livelihood, that you can provide some assistance. And I think the government's going to have to look at that, and we're looking at that right now. We're looking at how we, the changes that have to be made. Tamaki Drive, for example, later this year, we're having to lift Tamaki Drive because the surge tides are more frequent now, mm-hmm. and the road will be flooded more frequently. And you're talking about a big spend, but if you don't spend the money on mitigation, stopping the extreme rise in climate change, and if you don't make the change to adaptation, the consequences are going to be so much worse. So, you know, the sort of things that Auckland are doing that I think are really important. One, we're becoming a more compact city. That means we'll be more energy efficient, less transport use, etc. Two, more public transport, and that public transport needs to be electric, not diesel. So the trains are already, the light rail will be, the buses need to be, and that's a big change that we're going to mm-hmm. have to make, and a cost. Within council itself, we're cutting back our car fleet to save money, but that car fleet, just like Auckland Transport and Watercare have converted their cars largely to electric, we need to convert our cars to electric, and the government's incentives will help in that regard. We need to look at our buildings. The one I'm sitting in at the moment was totally refitted a few years ago so that it's energy efficient. We've got to cut back on our wastage, and council made a $5.3 million saving in water and power last year, which I think is pretty damn good, through some measures, including extra conservation measures. So all of those things are really important. And what we do as individuals, I drive an electric car, but I know I'm talking to an audience out there where a lot of people say, hey, we can't afford that. Maybe with the government changes, it becomes more affordable. And if we get the commercial companies to convert their fleets, then we've got a second-hand car market, because most people buy not new cars, but second-hand cars. Let's create a second-hand car market for electric cars, including the importation from Japan. All of those things are important. I'm getting my son to convert my house to solar panels now, just so we can generate some of our own electricity. And that makes sense. And, maybe there should be government incentives for people to do that, to lower the capital cost. Over time, it pays for itself. But the upfront capital cost is the deterrent, both for the car and the solar heating for your home.
Absolutely. This actually kind of leads us into the next thing I'd quite like to talk about this morning, which is I guess it goes back to a little bit some of those ways that people can individually, which is also a tricky subject in its own right, but individually work towards being more sustainable within the city. But, of course, to be able to do that, you need an infrastructure that supports that as well. At the moment, the council's running Our Auckland, which is a month-long campaign to sort of look at the ways people would like to see the city shaped. One of the things that's come up quite a lot is bike safety and it being a more bikeable and bike-friendly city. How is the council making the city safer? Because it's all well and good to say electric cars, yes, not less public transport, but there's not really a lot of options if you're biking down, Great North Road or something like that. And it's a very dangerous stretch of road to bike down. And that's just, one example. How do you make the city safer?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, the great thing in May was that we had a 10% increase in cycling movements, so more people looking at biking and walking to get around, and more people living in closer proximity, particularly those that are in the towards the centre of the city. The bad news is that pedestrians, cyclists and motorcyclists made up around 47%, almost half of the deaths and serious injuries in Auckland in the last year. And that's a serious statistic. And if you wonder why Auckland Transport is saying, hey, we've got to look at our speed limits around the central city area, you don't have to look much further than that. That rate of casualty is pretty horrific. And the overall road safety thing, gosh, I was looking at the figures from 2014 where we had less than 500 serious injuries on the road, to 2017 where we had over 800. Mm. There was a 70% increase, much higher than anywhere else in the country. And fortunately, we've pulled some of that back. And how have we pulled some of that back? Well, I'll give you just two examples. I want to come back to the cyclists and the pedestrians too, but this affects cyclists, pedestrians and everyone All else. Right. One, we're working with the police, we've increased the number of breath testing stations by about 25% last year, and we cut the deaths and serious injuries associated with alcohol by 57%. One of my other bugbears, because I ride a motorbike, is red light running. And, you know, you want to go through an intersection where you've got a green and know that you're safe and that some idiot's not running a red the other way and going to clean you out. We've increased our red light cameras, we're advertising where they are, we're prosecuting in every case, and we've reduced deaths and serious injuries by 54% around red lights. Now, coming back to your cycling...
Yeah, I was going to say, because this is great. That is great that that's being reduced, but how do we make... If we're talking about making the city greener and making it easier to be green within the city,
how do we do that?
How do we get more people on bikes? There are a lot of people want to do that, but it's not necessarily safe enough yet.
Yeah, no, and I agree with that. You know, we all as kids used to cycle or walk to school. Now mum and dad says we're not going to take that risk. We're going to drive our kids to school, and that adds to 10% to the peak hour traffic in the morning. So the critical area there is we're increasing our walkways and cycleways by 52 kilometres in our latest long-term plan. That's really important. So you've got some major projects. I mean,
how long-term is long-term, Phil?
That's over the next 10 years. So I get a lot of criticism from some parts of the community. You're doing too much on walkways and cycleways. And I push back on that and say, actually, every person that's cycling, every person that's walking is one less car on the road. You or me as a motorist ought to be really grateful that these people are choosing that mode because it reduces car congestion. So what are the big changes? The Sky Path and the Sea Path that will connect the North Shore to Auckland City will be really important. There's another massive walk and cycleway shared pathway that's going from Glen Innes right through to Tamaki Drive. We've finished the first stage of that and we're working on the second stage now. But all over Auckland you can see where the new cycleways, the walkways are going in. And occasionally Auckland Transport doesn't get it right and the plan isn't quite up to standard, but the overall goal and the amount of investment going into that area is really important. And, you know, you're seeing the uptake and use of electric bikes and e-scooters for that matter. And frankly, e-scooters are best placed on walkway and cycleways rather than on the pavement or on the road. So that makes that form of disruptive technology more attractive as well. So I'm proud that we're putting that emphasis on doing that sheer extra amount of walk and cycleways around the city.
So, Phil, this is the last question before we run out of time, I guess, but how do people, I guess, decide, how does the council decide where these walkways and cycleways go? Are people consulted about this, about where they would best like to see paths accesses?
It's done through Auckland Transport and it is on a consultative basis, and we've got to make sure that consultation is to the quality that it needs to be, because there have been cases I've seen where I think, they just haven't done the work that they needed to before that happened. Now, I know that you can consult everybody to death and that you can take four times as long over doing a project, but it is important to get it right, and it is important that consultation is a genuine consultation. And not everybody is in favour. You know, some of the people in Northcote Point, I'd say a minority, but they were very vocal, and they didn't want a cycle and walkway across the Harbour Bridge, because that would mean more people walking and cycling down their street. Well, I'm sorry. You've got to make your decisions around what's good for the city as a whole. You listen to concerns, you try to mitigate those concerns, but you don't say, if there's one person opposed, then we're not going to go ahead and do it, because there's somebody opposed to almost everything that you're going to do. That's not to say you ignore their objections. You listen to their objections. You try to make to hear how you can do it, but in a way that might ease their concerns. But in the end, you've got to get out there and make the decision, and we've got to get out there and create the infrastructure, and that's what we're doing.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Phil. I think that's all we've got time for this morning. We'll chat to you again next week. Cheers for that.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks, Rachel. Cheers.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff. Lots